Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For the fourth time in a row, the Federal Reserve has left its key interest rate unchanged as it continues to fight record inflation. Gina Simlak reports for the New York Times.
Inflation is slowing really rapidly. You know, after months and months and months of waiting to see inflation finally cool off, that has started to happen, and it's actually happening more quickly than the Fed had expected.
In Washington, social media CEOs are discussing the dangers their platforms bring to kids and teens. Discord's Jason Citron.
Just like with all technology and tools, there are people who exploit and abuse our platforms for immoral and illegal purposes.
The Pentagon confirms U.S. forces have destroyed a missile ready to launch by Houthi rebels after increased attacks on Americans in Yemen. CBS's David Martin.
This is the first time, at least that I'm aware of, that the U.S. has actually had one of its aircraft over Yemen threatened by a Houthi surface-to-air missile.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the state legislature. GOP Senator Eric Wimberger wants to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. A Wisconsin judge rules state regulators can force factory farms to get permits before they discharge pollutants. Lobbyists for factory farms sued in Calumet County, challenging the Department of Natural Resources' legal authority. But the judge says state law calls for maintaining the integrity of the state's water. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire area residents hoping for passenger train service in the area now have a rough timeline of when they could expect it. The West Central Wisconsin Rail Coalition hosted its annual meeting on Thursday alongside officials from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Amtrak. Chair of the West Central Wisconsin Rail Coalition, Scott Rogers, told attendees that they're in the beginning stages of research on where a train station could be located and passenger trains could start running as soon as 2028. The man accused of colliding with two Chippewa County police cars and leading authorities on an hour-long chase has reached a plea deal. Mitchell Ludke of Holcomb entered a no-contest plea to recklessly endangering safety, fleeing an officer, and drunk driving. Ludke was accused of using his car to try to hit a Cornell police officer in squad car and intentionally hit two Chippewa County squad cars, doing serious damage to the vehicles with deputies inside. He is scheduled to be sentenced on April 18th. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks face the Trailblazers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks continue their Western road trip tonight in Portland. New head coach Doc Rivers asked, with a team like Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Damian Lillard, and Giannis, are they coachable and willing to listen to him?
Oh, they're great. They're very coachable. But that won't be a problem with this group.
College hoops, Marquette with a win over Villanova. Final score 85-80 in favor of Marquette. Next, they play Georgetown this Saturday. NFL, Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark invited to the Pro Bowl in Orlando. Baseball, the Brewers just 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Arizona. Reese Hoskins added to the roster at first base in free agency. General manager Matt Arnold on adding Hoskins to the lineup.
You know, we've been able to catch the ball, I think, and pitch for many years, and continue to add bats like Reese into the middle of our lineup is something that we're thrilled to have.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of clouds and sunshine, becoming even more abundant as high temperatures attempt to break records and flirt with 50 degrees. Enjoy this unseasonable warmth and keep in mind we could see some areas of fog building back in overnight. Right now, it's 48 degrees.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as always, there's a lot of it being made. Well, today, the House finally voted in committee, Republican majority, the gerrymandered majority, I might say, 18 to 15 on party lines to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security. Now, the Constitution says you can impeach someone. It can be a president. It could be a judge, Supreme Court justice. It could be a cabinet member for high crimes and misdemeanors. What crimes, much less high crimes, did Alejandro Mayorkas commit? What misdemeanors did he commit? The articles of impeachment, and they are going to be submitted to the floor and very likely to be voted on this week, say there are two things: breach of public trust and willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. Could you be more general, maybe? I mean, breach of public trust? I have trust in the guy. Majority of the country does. Breach of trust by Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance. Okay. And how about willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law? What law? He complies with all of the immigration laws right now. The irony is that a new, tougher law has been proposed by a negotiating team, bipartisan in the U.S. Senate, that would be a lot tougher than the present law. It would be unlawful for Mayorkas to, on his own, freelance and apply laws and enforce them that weren't passed by Congress. Congress demanded these new laws. And then Donald Trump, who is lagging in his campaign, latest polls show Joe Biden ahead of him in the swing states, said, I need this to campaign on. Do not pass any legislation. Let people still come pouring in under our present law, and then I'll make an issue of it. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. The only other secretary of anything, the only other cabinet member in history, was a guy in the 1870s who was impeached. Ulysses Grant, Secretary of Defense. They used to call the Secretary of War. And he was as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He took bribes. He took bribes. Ulysses Grant personally was very honest, but he was a very weak manager when it came to disciplining people who were loyal to him. He was impeached in the House of Representatives, and he was acquitted in the Senate because they couldn't get 2/3 votes. That's the only other time. And this time, they're going after Mayorkas for no high crimes, no misdemeanors, no nothing. Breach of the public trust is not an impeachable offense, number one. And number two, failure to comply with the law, you have to say what law? What, did he murder somebody? Did he steal? What law? And they say the immigration law. Oh, really? Okay. Which one? The one that is being proposed and you refuse to vote on? Or some other law that no one ever heard of? This is the same crowd that voted to reduce his pay to $1 a year. This is the same crowd that voted to reduce the pay of the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, to $1 a year. This is the crowd that supported Tuberville's refusal to promote and blocking promotion for 10 months of our military officers. This is the crowd that has voted not to pay our military. And then at the last minute, they won't pass a budget. The day of the shutdown, at about 5 p.m., they do a continuing resolution for a couple of weeks or month and a half, that kind of thing. This is the crowd. This is a fake. You know, the other thing about it, they need an impeachment. Their main guy, Donald Trump, has a serious problem. And I'm not talking about the 91 felonies that he's accused of. I'm not talking about raping E. Jean Carroll and lying about it twice. And I'm not talking about the porn star where he fraudulently hid some money in violation of New York law. I'm not talking about any of that, even about his submissiveness to Putin. What I'm talking about here is he was impeached twice and he was not convicted. Because the first time out of all the senators, one Republican voted to convict him for trying to commit extortion against Zelensky, president of Ukraine. And the second time, 8 senators supported convicting him for the insurrection, for ginning it up. Now, you'd think that 58 senators out of 100, 58% of the Senate and the majority of the House, it's a pretty clear indication that this guy is no good. But the Constitution requires 2/3. 2/3 now is 67 senators. And 67 senators didn't fall in line. And as a result, he wasn't convicted. But they know that's a problem. It's kind of a weird thing. The guy's been impeached twice. He's the only guy in history that's been impeached twice. Only president. Only president. And so they need a conviction. They need a scalp. And they've talked about going after Joe Biden, but that's a bridge too far. Joe Biden is a terrific president, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And it's one thing for these clowns in the Republican caucus to vote to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. It's quite another thing to do that with Joe Biden when 18 of the Republicans represent districts that Joe Biden carried in the last election. They pull something like that, and those people can be out of a job, and they know it. They're afraid. But the spinoff of this, and there is a spinoff of it, and a couple of them. One of them is, this sends a message to Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, to the jihadists in the Middle East that are attacking our troops, and to Putin, that we're divided. We have a Congress that voted to reduce the pay of some of the principal cabinet officers to $1. And by the way, would never pass the Senate. It died, so it didn't happen. They did it, however, to show discord, to show division. And now the clowns are impeaching the Secretary of Homeland Security. They licked their chops, Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, Putin, everybody in the Middle East that's shooting at our troops. They're looking at a Congress that very came close to not even paying our troops, reducing our defense secretary to a buck. And the other spinoff of this is in Texas, Abbott, the governor, has closed off Shelby Park in Eagle Pass. Why is that important? I've been to Eagle Pass, right in the Mexican border. Shelby Park is right in the Mexican border. They're putting up razor wire. Supreme Court said that the federal agents can take it down. And at gunpoint, they're prohibiting federal agents from going in there. They're armed. There's the Texas National Guard. And there's some people thought it'd be a great idea. I can't imagine they'll do it. To put crocodile moats or alligator moats. So some woman and her two little kids are trying to get across the Rio Grande and they get eaten. Now that's not going to happen. I don't think they're stupid enough to do that, but that's one meme that's going around. It's very cruel. And a woman and her two young kids did drown because the federal agents were barred by the Texas people from going in to help them. There is a group in Texas, the Secession Party. Their president is a guy named David Miller. And he was asked, what did he think about Gregory Abbott barring federal agents from even going in to the border itself, which under the Constitution is the jurisdiction of the United States government. And he said, he was very pleased. He said, it validates and confirms the position we've held all along. And that is the position of South Carolina in 1860 and 1861, that because Abraham Lincoln was elected and he was an abolitionist, that had broken the compact between the states and the federal government, and therefore the states could secede. It's a core issue of the Civil War, slavery being at the bottom of it. That was resolved at Shiloh and Bull Run, Antietam, Gettysburg, a lot of places. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. The U.S. Supreme Court after that issued a decision. It was in litigation. Some of the Confederates said, well, let's bring a lawsuit that says we can secede. Supreme Court said, no way, unanimous. The clowns in Texas are now dividing the country again, doing it. Joe Biden has a decision. Does he federalize the Texas National Guard, go in with our own troops, and if they resist, arrest whoever resists and arrest Abbott for insurrection and put Abbott in jail? In the middle of a campaign for president, with our troops under fire in the Middle East and a Republican Party that may not pay them or promote them, and with China getting active in the South China Sea. Okay, coming up. How did Donald Trump go from 5 million to 83.3 million in two defamation cases, fairly close together? You'll be surprised at what the experts are saying coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Did you ever wonder? I did, but I didn't wonder too long, I'll tell you that. Why the first jury for E. Jean Carroll gave her $5 million, and I'm not saying that's not a lot of money. It's obviously a lot of money. And they thought it was a lot of money for defaming her. And why the second jury, not that far later, really, when you think about it, in litigation terms, less than a year, came back with $83.3 million. And E. Jean Carroll's lawyer did a great job in the closing, the summation, and said, "What, I'll leave it up to you, whatever it takes to make him stop." That was a very good way to put it. Because he had been sadistic to her, deliberately hounding her, resulting in death threats. She had to carry a gun. She had bought a pit bull for her apartment, was afraid to go out, destroyed her life. Sadistic conduct. And I was reading what some of the experts said who were closer to it, and I think one may have actually been at the trial, and I agree with them. And that's this. Donald Trump did not testify in the first hearing, first trial. He didn't even appear at the first trial. Juries are very reluctant if they don't see the object. One of the reasons, for instance, that defense lawyers always tell their clients, don't take the stand, because if you take the stand, you're going to screw up, you may lie about something, and then they'll feel good and vindicated about nailing you. But if they have any doubt at all, it bothers juries. So Trump wasn't there, you know, busy guy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, this ain't great, $5 million. If he had not come to the second trial, in my opinion, the opinion of some of the experts, it's very, very possible that the argument, make him stop. Okay, well, we'll give him $10 million. We'll give him $5 million again. Or $15 million. Why did they go from $5 million to $83 million? And the reason is what Trump did in the courtroom. He basically squeezed out his former lawyer, who'd advised him not to show up, and that was the correct advice, because Trump's very vain, egotistical. And he thought, okay, if I go now and I show myself and I explain things and blah, 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 they'll realize they shouldn't award any money at all, something like that. But what he did was he continued to mutter under his breath, say sarcastic things like, oh, now she can remember, huh? Juries could hear that. Juries don't like that. But the icing on the cake was when he got up in the middle of the closing argument of the other lawyer, of her lawyer, and stalked out. And Judge Kaplan said, and as he's required to, let the record show that Mr. Trump has left the courtroom. That level of anger, that level of total disregard for court rules, his lawyers arguing with Judge Kaplan, who's considered a fairly good judge. Juries will punish that. In other words, if they don't see it right in front of their noses, they don't necessarily always appreciate the severity of what happened. They don't always appreciate the impact of it, all that. But when somebody gets in their face and he gets up in a rage and stalks out, and he's a fairly big guy physically, And E. Jean Carroll is a slim, attractive, not too tall woman. And the level of disregard, hatred, really, I think really bothered those jurors. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. And they thought, okay, we will put an end to this. If he had not shown up and his lawyer gotten up and said, look, you know, he gave an interview to Caitlin Collins and, you know, that's his position. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But she's already gotten 5 million. Give her a million more. Give her 2 million more. All right, give her 5 million more. He would have saved $78 million if he hadn't done this. The other thing to keep in mind, I don't know if you've ever served on a jury. I've been called a number of times and never been selected for a jury because trial lawyers don't want other lawyers on the jury because they lose control over the whole case. But my experience has been frequently, you know, you have 12 people. Well, in this case, I guess you had 9. There was a 6-person jury and a few extras, and they let them stay on and deliberate. What frequently happens with juries is people roll over the lot. Somebody will say, all right, give her 5 million. Another person would be very offended. Give her 200 million. Blah, blah, blah. You know what they do? They frequently take an average of it. They pull out their phone, the calculator, and they average it. And sometimes they throw out the outliers, the high and the low, and they average the rest. I swear. 83.3. How do you think they got to that? They averaged them. So, I mean, I'm glad that it happened, but he was very foolish to even show up. And if he was going to show up, he should have sat there respectfully and sat there through the whole summation. Go to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Who said all cats are gray at night? Ben Franklin.
So well, I thought he said a penny saved is a penny earned. What's on your mind today, John?
Yeah, and you know how they used to talk about him? Well, give me a chance to explain something about Mr. Trump, our former president, because, like you said, he is a little bit behind the eight ball, so to speak. He is competing against a real good Democratic president, Joe Biden. So, Matt, what happens when we think about listing some of the foul-ups he made on his first attempt at president from 2016 to 2020? He did everything. He mixed up the CIA, the Defense Department, the National Security Advisor, when Iran was stepping on our toes.
Right. Yeah, you know what he did, and I think you're onto something. Not only doesn't he have any knowledge or expertise, but he didn't even read briefing memos. They said that, you know, the president gets a very confidential briefing memo every day from the CIA about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. Very confidential. He wouldn't read them. They had to boil it down in ducks and bunnies, like on one page. And frequently they had to give him graphs because he couldn't be bothered to read it. Secondly, what he did is he is servile to Vladimir Putin. He's a Russian agent, basically. Because he's been paid, he owes the Russian mob a lot of money. And also because there is the Coprophile video, the Golden Shower video, and he's deathly afraid it'll come out. And he is like Tim Scott was to him. He's like the Tim Scott to Vladimir Putin. Thanks for calling, John. Coming up very, very shortly, the monitor of Trump's businesses, I believe, has uncovered a massive tax fraud. Coming up.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Elbow. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Saturday, February 10th is the beginning of China's Lunar New Year. And for Wisconsin ginseng growers, that's an important date. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. Jackie Fett is the Executive Director of Marketing for the Wisconsin Ginseng Board. A group of Wisconsin ginseng growers recently returned from a trade mission to China, their first since the pandemic. And Fett says that visit may be paying dividends.
Yeah, actually, there's a pretty exciting thing happening in China right now. Recently, right after we came back from China, they announced that the Chinese government announced that American ginseng will be able to be used in food products going forward. Formerly, it was only to be used in traditional Chinese medicine products. But with this new change in regulation, we'll be able to expand the promotion of our product for food use now.
Jackie Fett, she's the Executive Director of Marketing for the Wisconsin Ginseng Board. Now, keep in mind, Wisconsin is a major player when it comes to ginseng. In fact, 95% of the nation's American ginseng comes from a 50-mile radius in central Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really, truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And attention, Wisconsin dairy producers and our dairy processors. After 12 weeks of testimony and cross-examination, yesterday, the National Federal Milk Marketing Order public hearing that had been happening in Carmel, Indiana, came to a close. The goal here is to try to improve on the U.S. Department of Agriculture's federal milk marketing orders, which dictate how much money dairy producers are paid for their milk. There were some 40 different proposals submitted by stakeholders from across the dairy industry. Of those, USDA accepted 21 to be included in the hearing process. Now, they'll take a look at all of the testimony they've gathered and start coming up with their recommendations, probably available sometime later this summer. There's your food news on a Wednesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of clouds and sunshine, becoming even more abundant as high temperatures attempt to break records and flirt with 50 degrees. Enjoy this unseasonable warmth and keep in mind we could see some areas of fog building back in overnight. Right now, it's 48 degrees.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Welcome Mech to Mechlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines first, Bob and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bob?
Well, I'm trying to figure out why Trump did something stupid like he did in the courtroom to get himself a $65 million extra penalty and so forth. It doesn't make a lot of sense unless you consider that he's picking on senators and congressmen all the time, and they kowtow to him so easily that I think he thinks he can get away with things a lot easier than the reality is. And so I think that's why he treats people awful, because he gets away with it against some pretty big people, congressmen.
Yeah, that's a good point. The thing is, you can't get away with it in front of a jury. And this is an anonymous jury. You can't follow up with them, number one. Number two, this last year he paid $50 million in legal, 50 million dollars for all his lawyers and all his cases. And you know what he's taking out of? He's taking out of that fund after the 2020 election, where he said the election was rigged and everybody sent in 10, 20 bucks type thing. And he made tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions. Then he got up to 250 million. And then he didn't use it to challenge the election or anything like that afterwards. He basically used it for his legal fees and whatever personal reasons he wanted. I think there's a legal problem with his doing that, but he paid his lawyers with it. And Bob, the other thing I want to say is, and I mentioned this the other day, and I was very glad to see this idea now beginning to circulate. He defamed her once, and he got she got $5 million. Defamed her again, repeated the same stuff. She got $83.3 million. He is now not personally saying it, but posting other people saying it. Now, that is defamatory. If, let's say that you say somebody, for instance, has a felony conviction or murdered his wife. Say you say something like that, and it's totally not true. That's defamatory. You'll pay damages. If the next time you post a newspaper article on it on social media, saying the same thing, but having the editor say, this is what was said in the previous trial or something, that's defamatory. And he keeps doing that now. I do not know if E. Jean Carroll wants to go through the grind again. You know, collecting $83 million from a crook who will hide it is going to take a lot of legal skill on the part of her lawyer. But he's continuing to do it. And the bottom line on that one for me that bothers me most of all is, okay, he's lied and he attacked her, but the relentless sadism of trying to crush a woman who's by herself, is not politically powerful, is not wealthy except for the verdict she's getting against him, is not connected, is not influential. The relentless sadism to destroy a human being, that is something that's inexplicable to me, and I think it shows a core of hate in his character. And we don't need that in the president of the United States. Unfortunately, we had it for 4 years with him. We don't want it again. Thanks for calling, Bob. Well, we talked about this yesterday. Special monitor named Barbara Jones, very distinguished former federal judge, appointed by Judge Ingram to be the monitor of Donald Trump's business enterprises throughout this litigation, because if a big enough number comes in, if Engoron says he has to pay $370 million or $250 million, you want to make sure that he hasn't been a shyster about it and stuck it over in Switzerland or something. So we mentioned yesterday he's dissolved something like 161 of his companies. He has 500, I don't know, 20 or 30 companies. Everything is a little unit that he's separately incorporated to make it difficult to go after him. Well, in the course of doing it, and this was, I alluded to this yesterday, but it's been fleshed out considerably. I've heard other people write and talk about it. It's this. She's going through the documents and she sees $48 million came into him. And she goes, what is that? And as people go, well, that's a loan. Oh, it is. Okay. Because if it was income, he didn't pay taxes on it. If you're going to nail Hunter Biden for $1.5 million, you better nail this guy for $48 million. Okay. And loan. Could I see the loan documents, please? Loan documents. What do you mean by that? Well, if you have a loan, there's some documents. Well, this was verbal. This is verbal. $48 million verbal loan. Great. You know, parenthetically, look, if you go to your parents or your brother and borrow a grand or you lend them a grand, that can be verbal. You know, that's a handshake. 48 million bones is a lot of moolah. It's a lot of moolah. So she goes, well, okay, let's see who loaned it to him. Doesn't say who loaned it to him. Oh, that's Chicago Unit Acquisition. Not kidding. Chicago, what did they acquire? I don't know. I don't remember. Why did they loan him $48 million? I don't know. There's no loan documents. How soon does he have to pay it back? And is there an interest rate? I don't know. Because, you know, if there's no interest rate, that's considered a gift, and then they had to pay gift tax. Yeah, I don't know who they are. This is the former president running for president, being accused, actually being found guilty of fraud by Judge Engoron on summary judgment. This whole deal is only about how much he has to pay. She turns over some stones and sees some worms crawling around under him. She goes, what's that? Yeah, I don't know. It's all verbal. Here's my question. At what point do people look at this and say, this is too much? This is too far. This is not business. It's not business. When she asked for information on the 100 and some odd companies he dissolved, they stonewalled her for 8 months. 8 months. And the problem is, you and I and most people, the jury says you owe $83 million. And of course, that would kill most people. But I mean, let's say you had the money to pay it. You go, okay, you appeal, and then you write a check. That's only the beginning of the collection process with somebody like this. Only the beginning of it. And any rule that you may think of that binds him to obey the judge and all that, that's out the window. That's out the window. This guy feels that he's bound by no rules, but he's a very serious problem. Because if some entity paid him $48 million, they didn't do it just because they're good guys. Nobody pays that, especially people named the Chicago Unit Acquisition. They don't do that kind of thing. So was it for services rendered? Like he gets money from Chinese banks, then he defends China. And he gets money from Russian oligarchs and he defends Russia. If it was for services, that's income. And he had to pay tax and he didn't. If it is not for services, but it's a loan, we're entitled to know what the interest rate is, what the terms are, how soon it has to be repaid, what the condition is, what the purpose of the loan was. None of that is available. They just say it's verbal. They just say it's verbal. This is just another step in the saga. Some special prosecutor is going to have to look at this too. But remember one thing, keep this in mind. In my view, the principal reason, maybe the only reason he ran for president was to stay out of prison, or in this case, stay out of prison for criminal tax evasion, or try to avoid civil judgments. What are you going to do? Go to the White House with a collections lawyer and the local sheriff and say, I'm here to seize your house. Well, my house is the White House. You can't seize it. Get the hell out of here. and then he'll hang on for four more years and maybe even beyond that. Maybe beyond that. And you know, the pathology in the Republican Party is extraordinary. This is an item that I saw. And, you know, Tim Scott, I thought he was servile. I thought Trump was sadistic to him to humiliate him like that in front of everybody. But I always thought, you know, he's kind of a genial guy. What the heck? Kind of a genial guy. Come to find out, Trump allies have now warned him to knock it off. And what is he doing that he had to be knocked off from? He has hired opposition researchers to go after Elise Stefanik and other potential vice presidential picks of Trump to trash him, to throw mud on him, so that Trump will have to pick him as vice president. Now, let me tell you something. Trump is not going to be elected, and nobody's going to be vice president other than Kamala Harris. However, if there was going to be somebody, it ain't going to be Tim Scott. I mean, Tim Scott looked terrible on that stage in New Hampshire where Trump humiliates him, degrades him, says, "You must really hate Nikki Haley. She appointed you and you stabbed her." And he comes around and Trump was afraid. I think he was going to attack him. And he looks at him with this servile, really sad grin, goes, "I love you." Well, who the hell says something like that other than to your wife? Come on, give me a break. What do you mean, "I love you"? It was a crazy thing. It was servile. He'd been whipped by Trump and he begged for more. He's not going to be vice president, but what he's going around, apparently, what he's going around doing is trashing the opposition. Now, Elise Stefanik has plenty of stains on her escutcheon. Let me put it that way. And not the least of which in Trump's mind is that she is disloyal. Early on, right after the insurrection, she went after Trump big time, said he should be prosecuted, and then maybe other things as well. I don't know. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Boy, you know, seriously, people need to wake up because this guy has dangerous personality disorder, and he does, and he has to be on top. I bet he was oppositional defiant disorder when he was a kid, and it grew up and it got even worse as an adult. You know, and this guy has never been held accountable. Let's think about kids in school, or, you know, that are nasty to people or don't care anybody about themselves, or, you know, pick on people, bullies. You know, they get help. This guy has never been held accountable for a thing in his life. And he's known for prolonging lawsuits so the people run out of money and they can't even take them down for stuff that they've pulled on them. I mean, I think people need to really and truly, this is not a Republican presidential candidate. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a molester. He looks at young girls and talks about, oh, if he, you know, wasn't his daughter, he'd, you know, be with her. I mean, come on, folks. What in the world are you thinking? And think of the young kids. No wonder we got kids depressed. We got huge amounts of young people, depression, no hopes for the future. Take a look at these people that are running around supporting Trump. It's like they got a screw loose. I'm sorry to say it that way. That's nasty of me, but I've about had it with those people because they're sick. And what they're doing is hurting our country significantly, and those idiots that are sitting there at the border, have a chance to do something about it. And what are they doing? Going after Homeland Security. Give me a break.
Excellent call. Thank you so much. And by the way, that call you made yesterday about the hospitals up in the Eau Claire area was terrific. That lighted up the line. So love to hear that kind of stuff. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. We're going to step away briefly. Coming back, I'm coming right back to the lines. And a judge has ruled now that minor errors in absentee ballots should not bar the ballot. Good news coming up.
All the time, I keep the ins out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Matt of Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. Matt, what's in your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Flynn. I wanted to bring up something that I thought interesting and maybe an idea. The Postal Service is a tool for democracy. It's a way to send information to every person in the country a lot more affordably than commercials and whatnot. And Andrew Yang, back in 2016, he did something interesting that I liked. He had a PowerPoint presentation showing data points of all the ways that America has fallen down since the 50s compared to other countries. Drug abuse, job loss, financial problems, income inequality, all these things. And I'm wondering why the Democratic Party can't just send every American through the mail a bullet point presentation showing, maybe on a piece of paper or two, all the ways that Republicans contributed to the position that we're in right now in the world and all of our problems. From George Bush with the illegal Iraq war that angered other countries, also Putin. Putin kind of lost a lot of respect for us and will to work with us because of that. Then you had the 2008 financial crisis, worldwide problem, again, Bush policies. Then we had Obama did indeed make an error in Syria. But then we had Trump. A whole bunch of other problems came from him. He assassinated the general in Iran, which angered Iran. He works with Putin, but a lot of this insecurity, it seems, is because of the Republicans. And on that list, you could also point to all the jobs that Democrats have created, all the messes that Republicans create that we come in and fix. You know, there's all these things that we could just put on a piece of paper, send to every American. And once they see that, we might also be able to figure out how many people just can't be saved and how far down the Kool-Aid's gone, so to speak. So I just wonder what you think about that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Remember one thing, Matt, I want to back up what you just said. The United States Post Office is mentioned in the Constitution. It's one of the few agencies or entities that's actually mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. We have to constitutionally have a post office. So whenever the Republican Party tries to marginalize it, they really want to privatize it. The guy that founded FedEx graduated from Yale University in 1968 in the same class as George W. Bush, and they're both members of Skull and Bones together. So George W. Bush and this guy were thick as thieves. And a lot of the legislation that you see passed, you don't know the full background on. But for instance, the U.S. Post Office was required to reserve for pensions and health care billions of dollars, but FedEx and UPS were not. And right now, you can say all you want about the Post Office. I think it's a terrific organization. When I was in college over Christmases, I would, you know, throw bags of mail around the post office to get some extra money during the vacation. It's very efficient. It's very, very good. And if you privatize it, you'd be spending $3 to mail a letter, $5 to mail a letter. So we have to hold on to it. You remember that that Republican scrapped some of the sorting machines back before the last election, and especially in the large urban areas that could sort 50,000 pieces of mail an hour, and deliberately did that to slow up absentee ballots getting in time under the law. The Republican Party has pulled this stuff for a long time, but whenever you're in a discussion with one of them, just remind them and say, the United States Post Office is mentioned in the U.S. Constitution in the 18th century, and we're not going to get rid of it. Now, yeah, I love the idea of direct mail. The Democratic Party does a ton of advertising like that, certainly on social media. And without exaggeration, I get 200 emails a day or texts from candidates all over the country, you know, wanting money from, and you contribute as much as you can. And then from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, in my case, the Milwaukee County Democratic Party, the DNC, the DCCC. But I like your idea of highlighting with two columns. One is everything the Democratic Party has done in the last 50 years and everything the Republican Party has done. And the statistic that's most chilling to me is that since 1989, 98% of the new jobs that were created in this country were created under Democratic presidents. And since 1989, 2% of the new jobs are created under Republican presidents. And that is because the Democratic Party does come in, cleans up the mess, has fair policies. The Republicans are always trying to privatize, voucherize, cut any kind of benefit, any spending power, and then give the money to basically their donor corporations who use it to buy back stock. And that's it in a nutshell. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, there's a judge in Madison, Judge Nielsenstein, Ryan Nielsenstein, came out with a great decision. He's ordered the state Wisconsin Election Commission to immediately implement his ruling that absentee ballots with incomplete but non-material address mistakes of witnesses on the outside of the envelope have to be counted. Because what will happen is you'll go next door to your neighbor and his wife and you go, can you witness my ballot? They go, yeah. Then on the outside, he'll put John Jones with his address and she'll put, you know, Mrs. Barbara Jones, and then she'll put ditto or same. Or he might leave out a zip code, which you can easily find, because if you have the address, you can find the zip code. The Republicans have done everything they can to make sure, as far as they can, that as few absentee ballots are counted as possible, because they believe that the majority are Democratic ballots. The sad thing for them is I remember growing up, and I remember until recently, if there was a close election and said, but the absentee ballots haven't been counted, every professional would go, well, the Republicans are going to win, because Republicans use them a lot more than Democrats. That is no longer the case because of Donald Trump, because he's trashed them, insulted them, and all that. It's more Democrats do it. That doesn't have to be the case, Republicans. Why doesn't everybody say vote absentee if you can? We want everybody to vote. We want fair elections. But Nielsenstein came out with a decision that's quite good. And it says if somebody next to the spouse's signature says same address, look at the other address. If it doesn't have a zip code, so what? It has the street address. So what? Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and the Republicans now are trying to put poison pill riders on any extension of funding the U.S. government, even by the March deadline. Coming up.
Anyone knows what's on tap. It's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.